To start with, to establish economic state of mind. If you do not accomplish an economist's mind by stopping the bias of attachment towards some sentient beings and hatred towards others, any love and compassion that arise will be generated together with partiality. As this does not occur, if you observe them without partiality, we should meditate on equanimity. So, the equanimity is of two types. One, the kind of the desire which wishes that all sentient beings, they are of equal status in terms of happiness or pleasure, in terms of happiness, suffering, whatever. And the second one is that the state of the equanimity are viewing everyone else as equal in ways of closeness or distance. So the way you meditate on generating this equanimity would be of different ways. First, you just take any one of the persons, whether a close one or a dear, an enemy or an indifferent person. So you just check what is your mental attitude towards these three different kinds of people. So when you think of the close and dear ones, so the kind of the relationship, the kind of the response that you tend to have with the first kind of the person, that is the close one, is that this person, so you feel a little bit kind of, you see that in the light of affection or attractiveness, because that is grounded on the feeling that, that person is of benefit to me. It's of he or she's kind to me like that. And then whereas when you think of the enemy, you will have a sense of repulsion towards that person, because on the ground that you must be feeling that, oh, this person is actually the one who creates problem to me. And in different one, you have a sense of neutrality. So, then reflecting well as to whether or not those grounds upon which these three different attitudes arise are something valid. So, seeing that there is no ground, there is no proper ground for generating these three different attitudes to these three different objects or persons, so there then you see that, oh, there is no ground that I should be close to some or some and distant to the other and neutral to the other, yet another. So as such, you then tend to think of everyone, start taking everyone else as just the same. Try to think of all these three as equilibrium, in an equilibrium state. So that trying to generate the view of equanimity, viewing all these three as just equal, is what we call as meditation on equanimity. So that is like the ground for the meditation on the sevenfold cause-effect relationship to cultivate bodhicitta. So now what would be the basis or the reason upon which we can generate this sense of equanimity? So from the side of the sentient beings, so they are all just equal in ways of desiring happiness and not desiring suffering. So because they're all sentient beings, they are equally desirous of happiness and not wanting suffering, so it is totally partial and biased on this side, trying to be closer to some and distance towards others. And when you speak about cultivating this sense of equanimity, it doesn't mean that we can actually dissolve the concept of enemy or close and friends. because in the conventional world, those persons who offer benefit to you are called as close ones or friends, and whereas those who incur pain on you are called enemy. So, but what exactly you are to do in this in the context of this meditation on equanimity? So it is not a matter of actually stopping or not trying to stop yourself from viewing someone as enemy or someone as a person, someone as a close one. But what exactly you are to do is so actually you should view your enemy as the best of your teacher who teaches you patience, just as it is taught in Shantideva's Bodhisattva Charya Avatara. So that I think is very crucial. So next, establishing all sentient beings, establishing them all in having an attractive aspect. So it has three parts. Meditating them as one's mother, remembering their kindness, meditating on repaying their kindness. So the first one, meditating them as all sentient beings, as one's mother. So there we have first of all understand that the self or the person is something that is designated on the continuum of mind. And since that the mind has no beginning in terms of the continuity, nor it is an end. As such, when we think about the preceding states of the mind, so the previous mind is what we call as that mind possessed by the the former birth. So likewise, if we trace that way, we see that the number of beings who have been your mother has been countlessly great. So it is said that in the sutra of the Buddha, that there hasn't been anyone who hasn't been one's mother in one lifetime or the other. So when you speak about remembering all beings as one's mother, it should not be just confined to one's mother, but rather can think of any kind of relationship with a father, whatever, as long as something is of tremendous, is of great benefit, is of great kindness to you. In the sutras, it is taught that since cyclic existence is beginningless, our births are also beginningless. Being incessantly born and dying, there is no body in cyclic existence that we have not taken, no place in which we have not been born, and no one who has not been a relative, such as a mother, and so forth. Next, remembering the kindness of the mothers. So first, Podhava maintained that if after meditating on all sentient beings as having been your mother, you initially meditate on your mother of this life, the thought remembering the kindness will quickly be generated. You should meditate like that, thinking that your mother in a clay aspect is in front of you. Repeatedly reflect, she has been my mother not only now, but times past counting since beginningless cyclic existence. When she was my mother, she protected me from all harm and accomplished all happiness and benefit for me. In particular, even in this life, she initially carried you in her womb for a long time. Then, when you were born, she pressed your yellow or tousled hair against the heat of her body. She swung you on her fingertips, nursed you with her milk, fed you as an infant from her mouth, wiped away your saliva with her mouth, cleaned your filth with her hands, caring for you untiringly in many different ways. In addition, when you were hungry or thirsty, she gave you food and drink. When you were all cold, she gave you clothing. When you were in need, she gave you her possessions that she herself had hardly used. So, First of all, you try to recollect the enormous kindness that one has received from your mother of this lifetime. And then you can also think of the kindness, the enormous kindness that you received from whosoever is close to you. And on top of reflecting the kindness of the mother, you as being the as a human being, but also think about you taking birth as some other aspects like birds or animals. So just imagine the birds. So the birds, they really kind of feed the chickens so well. So if you think of the enormous kindness, enormous love that these mother birds show to the youngsters, young ones. So we really see that these young ones are being fed or being raised by the mother birds out of great love, out of compassion towards the young ones. So it is because of this that I've been constantly telling as to why this compassion is required to gather all those conducive factors. So this is what I normally speculate, that if you speak about some beings who really need to depend on someone else for his or her survival, so I think there must be an element of compassion, element of love, which really makes it so practical, so real. So without this element, the love, it is impossible that the young ones can survive. So biologically speaking also, there must be an element which helps combine or which helps gather those conducive factors to bring about the proper growth of this body. And then, so if you take into consideration the butterflies, so the butterflies, what they do is they simply lay the eggs and then they'll fly away. And then the eggs gradually get fetched. When the butterflies come out of those eggs, so I don't suppose that these butterflies who come out of the eggs, they would have any sense of compassion, any sense of love when the mother of that very fly, these two are put together. So it is not because it is very clearly indicative of the reality, the fact that irrespective of something religious or not, but it is simply on the basis of the biological composition that this love is required, because in order for the survival of that very small young ones, in case of the birds or the human beings, it is indispensably required the love, without which the young ones cannot survive. So if you could really think about even about the how the birds, they feed the young ones and also the other worms, so we can really think about how powerful this element of love is. So I normally say that this element of love is something which should not be simply confined to a religious instruction. Rather, it is indispensably required, even from the point of view of the scientific findings, how it is required biologically to survive the young ones. So whether or not the Buddhists, they really reflect on the how every being has been one's mother, but at least even this mere prayer that is very prevalently being said by most of the Buddhists, that may all the mother sentient beings be alleviated from suffering and so forth. So that even that alone is so marvelous, so great a kind of habit. So these all... So what about the Chinese? Do you pray that way? That also, that all Mother Sentient Beings, to include this, that all sentient beings, so the Chinese translator is saying that, so the contemporary Chinese translations, you can see the mention of all the Mother Sentient Beings. But in the olden translations, Chinese translations, you don't find this word Mother attached to the word sentient beings. So he's only saying that, so someone, so the same thing in the old translation in the Chinese. So he's only saying that in that case the Tibetan translation is better. The Tibetans deliberately add this word Mother Sentient Beings. So probably because the Chinese, they're overpopulated, that they find it a little bit hard to imagine all as Mother Sentient Beings. In the olden time, there is one Tibetan Lama who was giving teachings as to how this human birth is difficult to obtain. And there is one Chinese among the audience who was listening to the teaching, and he said that, oh, you, my teacher, it seems that you have not been to China.